Are dents and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Roger Steen Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Previously on the Game On Podcast.
So, yeah, a lot of clubs were paying pretty good money, and there were some really good players running around. A lot of ex, Sample and VFL players at the time were coming through Canberra pretty much at the end of their careers, but lent itself to some pretty good footy. So as a young kid, you know, it wasn't uncommon for me to go to Manuka Oval and watch, you know, Manuka and Ainslie or Manuka and Eastlake in front of about 10,000 people. So
we had
huge crowds in the 70s, in particular in the early 80s.
Out of that, Scratcher, we had InterVarsity in Canberra in 85, and functions were at the Ainslie Footy Club, and I just couldn't get over how big that was. Where Pete, you actually walked in, the first thing you saw on the door as you walked in was the photos of this week's side, and they were huge. They're like Ford Pocket, Robbie Neal, Pete Matthews, full forward, etc. And there were pokies there, and then there was a room upstairs, and then another room upstairs where the presentation dinner was seated 600. So it was massive. And that was all pokies, yeah, exactly.
In fact, we had the Mulrooney medal there. That's how big it was. So the league best and fairest used to be held at the Ainslie Footy Club, and they always had big functions there too, now, you know. So and sort of outside of Southport is probably, you know, especially at that time in the 90s and the early 2000s, probably the richest club outside the AFL. So, certainly raking the money, but they had a really good business model. It was a club that generated a lot of money, and as a result was always able to get good recruits. You know, Cowboy Neil coached there. And then another fellow by the name of Brett Hannam, who actually came over and
played for Centrals.
So Hannam actually coached me back in Canberra as well. Wonderful fella. They're able to attract really good players. And, footy was in the blood early on, and I had a lot of mates whose parents were from other parts of Australia, not necessarily New South Wales or Queensland, but who had footy in the blood as well. And given that I went to a rugby union school, which was probably one of the best rugby union schools in Australia, St Edmunds College, which has sort of produced George Gregan, who's a sort of a mate from school, and Michael Maguire, who's going to coach New South Wales in the State of Origin. Madge is a sort of in our circle of mates in my year. You had a lot of guys who went on to go and play for the Wallabies, school teachers who were coaches of the Australian schoolboys team. So it was a pretty strong rugby environment. And the footballers, we used to have to sort of fend for ourselves a little bit. You know, we'd do 20K walkathons to raise money for a scrum machine, which probably didn't go down well with the footballers. But that was life, mate, in the ACT and putting up with the cold, mate, which was another matter.
Yeah, that's true.
Sportscast SA presents Game On. Game On. South Australian's destination for everything sports. Local, national and international sports. AFL football, soccer, basketball, golf, baseball, tennis, cricket, and any other sports played in this wide world. And we're going to have a blast doing it. So sit back, relax, and let's do this thing. Welcome to Game On.
Welcome to Game On. My name's Pete and Malcolm once again in the studio. And Robbie Neal, part one there. We did split that interview up because we knew it was a bit of a long interview. But talking about his time, obviously, in Canberra, and almost the forgotten state when it comes to football.
Yeah, to some extent. And also that interview then with going on about the injuries which happened after a Sydney Swans training session is a must listen. And Adelaide Uni Footy Club people will love the Bob Neil bit. And we have to, I have to arrange a meeting between the real Bob Neil and Robbie Neil.
I think what we might do on our socials is take excerpts from that interview with the Sydney training session and the real Bob Neil.
Yeah.
And I'll send them on to you and we'll make that
fun.
We'll make that happen. All right, let's get into Around the Grounds.
Around the Grounds.
All right, as per usual, we'll talk the SNFL, SNFLW, the soccer, and Robbie Neil part two. But we'll kick off with the burning questions, the hot topics in the AFL this week, mate. We'll kick off with the Crows. The Thebe move hits another speed bump. Yeah. What, should they scrap it?
It's getting close. Yeah, it's very frustrating.
If they do scrap it, what is the other option that you can think of? Because the only one that I can think of that probably should have been on the drawing board initially was the Adelaide Uni.
No, that was on the
drawing board. It was on the drawing board. There you go.
Yeah, no, it was. Let's just say Adelaide Football Club could have done their homework far better than they did on that.
Yep.
Leave it at that one.
Fair call. All right, let's move on. Nathan Murray from Collingwood, medically retired from the AFL after last year's, not playing a game since last year's grand final. It's becoming an issue where players are being medically retired. I think it was a bit of a mutual decision that he and his parents and everybody involved basically made that decision.
He was fantastic in the interview. Seeing the big picture, he was pretty mature about it. So, yeah, full credit to him. And, look, we've now had that's two from last year.
Yep.
Now we're talking, we might as well jump ahead a bit here.
Yep.
Now, on the Matty Crouch suspension, on the current ruling, yep, I look at that. I go, yep, he is reckless.
Well, that's about the only thing from that is reckless.
It's careless. So it's out of that. But where has it gone that the player, the opposition player, has no responsibility whatsoever to protect himself? Guys are just leaving themselves wide open. Because they're effectively playing for a free kick.
Yep.
And they're taking the knock. Well, it's just so dangerous. And we're going troppo that concussion is the major issue.
Yes.
Litigation, protection, rara. But you're allowed to leave yourself wide open. And I'm sorry, the bit I don't get, if you actually watch the Butters one closely, his hands aren't the position. He didn't go for the ball there. Mm-hmm. He's actually technically more guilty than Crouch.
Yep.
That's where the decisions just didn't make sense. And the Charlie Cameron suddenly getting off last night on the good bloke theory. Wow. Where has that come from? And that's never been used before, you know, out of that. They had actually said, you know, no more of that.
Yep,
you can't get your sentence reduced, come in and say every single person's the model citizen, rah, rah, rah. And all of a sudden that gets brought back up. As they said, they've opened a Pandora's box. I'm sorry.
Well,
Andrew Dillon and Laura Kane, to say they're struggling is an understatement.
To say, look, I'm going to go back a little bit on the Crouch decision. I agree with you that it was reckless, but I also am in agreement with you that the opposition player does have
to it happening. Now, Crouch 5 years ago, we'd be lauding that, going, how good's that? He's gone in hard at the ball, and he got the ball.
Yep. Like,
but the current player should have been turning to protect himself, and then it would have just been a clash of players going for the ball and hips, and well done, whoever got the ball.
Yep.
But the current player's effectively played for the free kick there.
Yep.
And left himself wide open where he could have been seriously hurt.
That's where I'm paying
for the free kick. That's wrong.
That's where I agree
it
with you.
It is so wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you that the opposition player has to take some responsibility to contribute. The only thing out of the Crouch one is that I would say it was reckless.
Careless.
Yeah, careless or reckless.
Careless is the line. Yeah, it is. But careless is written there on the gradings and on that. So I think he is because of the current rulings, he's guilty of that. But I say, where is the responsibility on the player to protect himself?
The current ruling actually says that the player should be leading with their heads, which is wrong.
Yeah. It's just so dumb.
Yep.
The Peter Wright one, that wording defeats everything. What you're taught as a kid, what you're teaching kids. Ironically, I'm doing a kids' coaching clinic this week.
Yep.
Part of what we're trying to teach them is turn to protect yourself.
Yep.
And yet the AFL is saying the opposite. Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. If you're going on the good bloke theory, Matty Crouch has had a clean record. Adelaide could have used that. Were you surprised that Adelaide didn't challenge?
No, because I think under the current ruling, he's guilty. I actually get angry now where clubs will just throw the dart out. Because there's no risk of an increased suspension, they'll just appeal it for the sake of appealing it. And I actually think, the Max King one with St Kilda appealed that. No. Max was palpably guilty, and they should have said, Max, for goodness sake, don't be a bloody idiot. You're hurting us.
Yeah, absolutely. And then obviously the Butters one, which you touched on there, I thought they were both in the same category, and yet one gets off and one doesn't. And David King from Fox Footy, I think it was, made the comment, we're not playing for a Brownlow. Yeah. Matty Crouch is not playing for a Brownlow, whereas Butters is. That's a long bow to stretch, but you've got to look at it, don't you?
Yeah, and I think unfortunately there's an element there where Cripps, the Carlton lawyers got him off, but the AFL should have reappealed. They still had one more avenue of appealing that, and they should have.
Yep.
Because Cripps was palpably guilty, but he got off exactly because Carlton lawyers are so good.
Absolutely. All right, we'll move on from that one there. It's a bit of a hot topic and continue to be a hot topic, as we've already spoke about in the first four or five rounds this year, and we've still got about, 19-odd to go. So where are North Melbourne and Hawthorn at the moment, considering Tasmania will be entering the comp, and you really don't want to be in that bottom third, do you?
I will say that North Melbourne, the administrators who decided to keep them in Melbourne when they got the Godfather offer to go to the Gold Coast, it was going to be the North Melbourne Gold Coast Kangaroos. Unbelievable they didn't take that. Now you're saying, we want to keep North Melbourne in Melbourne so we can watch them every week. No, there's too many teams in Melbourne. We all acknowledge that. Yep. They should have been made to go. And I'm sorry, at the moment, they're just an irrelevant basket case. Hawthorn aren't much better.
Is it a case of, and we've talked about this a little bit, where do we think Tasmania may merge with one of those teams? I know that Tasmania don't want to do
it. They don't.
But the AFL do hold the cards here for the licence.
Yeah, they do, but I just still can't see that happening. I personally think it should be a team sent down there. North Melbourne go down there. You can have some concessions there.
Let's look at the South Melbourne supporters and the Fitzroy supporters who now support, obviously, the Sydney Swans and the Brisbane Lions. Having that fan base already in Melbourne, I would have thought would be a very strategic point of view, not only from a marketing point of view and a club point of view, but also you're bringing in, obviously, a team or a club that's already established those roots.
I think also that it's moved on. Footy's moved on from the tribal
suburban play
at home every week. We've moved beyond that, and I'm sorry, the sheer cost of it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you've got 12 of your games on TV where you can watch.
Yep.
Well, that's cheaper.
Yep.
Your people say, they can't afford Fox and all that. You can go to a pub and not have a drink and watch it.
Yep.
I've done it.
Well, pick up a can of Coke or whatever and stand there and watch.
I
totally agree. Most footy clubs, most clubs these days actually have some sort of sport playing on the TV anyway, so you can. Here's one without notice. Could we see North Melbourne and Hawthorn potentially merging?
Oh, I think they're too well off financially.
Yep.
And that's the thing. Because of the TV rights and all that, you're not looking at teams going bankrupt like the old days. So while there's... Yes, they're supported by the AFL. It's a long bow to see anyone actually get into that state compared to what it was years ago.
Again, just throwing it out there.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
I'm looking at different options to obviously not only strengthen the competition, but also, make it obviously a little bit more equitable for everybody going around. And
let's just
19
say,
teams is going to be a nightmare that the AFL are going to have to deal with if they don't bring
in
20
teams. And then there's the
argument
on the 20th licence for that. And, I admit I've had enough of that already.
Well, hence the reason why I'm suggesting that maybe one team should be coexisting with Tasmania.
Let's just say the person who I think has been the best CEO in the past 20-odd years, Wayne Jackson, is extremely critical that North Melbourne didn't pull its head in.
Previous guest of ours, and anybody that's listening, you can certainly go back and listen to that interview. All right, mate, we move on. Frio, are they sneaking under the radar a little bit?
Well, imagine if they'd pinched those two games in Adelaide. All of a sudden, we've gone, shit, Frio. They've been bloody unlucky. Like, the ball hits James H. clearly. Yep, shocking decision the week before.
Yes.
This one, too, we're debating whether Butters should have got suspended. But where in the hell was the bloody free kick? That's a free kick to Frio.
Yep.
Frio are moving forward then. So that changes that situation up potentially. So they've been very unlucky. Whether defensive footy, what they're playing, whether you can win enough games with that, maybe.
Yep.
It's suddenly actually an interesting derby this week over in WA.
Absolutely, and we'll talk about that one as we go on. Score review, is it dragging the game down?
Oh, it's the only form of employment where you don't really have to work. Oh, no, let's check. They've all gone just gun-shy after the error last year. Mm-hmm.
But they're also being instructed to do that as well. That's the thing.
It was funny doing the scoreboard at the Richmond St Kilda game, forgetting, because you're just so used to bang, hurry up, put the scoreboard up. And also at Nord, with you're doing it on a manual.
Yep.
And if there's a point scored, you're trying to look over your back in terms of a kickoff quickly.
Yes.
Three times we put the score up before realising they'd done the review part. Well, three times we were correct.
Yep.
And one of them was just such an obvious goal.
Yep.
It was ridiculous that it was being checked.
Absolutely. All right, I've got...
Sorry, if they're giving it a goal, that's being checked anyway. Every goal's checked.
Yep.
So why in the hell goal umpire give it a goal? Well, that's checked anyway before the ball goes back to the middle. Pete, just letting, and the field umpire, bang, no, it comes back. Well, that's far better than what they're doing at the moment.
It would make much more sense.
It's just taking out the theatre. You roar for a goal, and that sort of suddenly disappeared, and it's become an anti-climax so often. Yep. It's ridiculous.
Now, I've got a few extra notes here.
Yeah.
Are the Western Bulldogs the biggest enigma of 2024 so far?
It's certainly, some of the selections have been bizarre. I do notice the teams out for tomorrow night where Ugal Hagen's out for personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what that is?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm sure we'll find out in time.
I'm sure we will, but it's yet another question mark on Western Bulldogs. Caleb Daniels still emergency, which everyone just thought he would go back in the side. Bailey Dale. So some of their selections have been weird.
So a team like that obviously has some players that have some trade currency.
Yes.
Potentially for other clubs to go after. Who are the ones that the Bulldogs could potentially move on to help them? And again, rebuilding is a dirty word, apparently, down at the Bulldogs, or re-establishing yourself, to be able to, sort of regenerate on the run.
Bailey Smith still hasn't signed.
Yeah.
So that's one. Yep. Obviously, Caleb Daniel is another at the moment. Bailey Dale.
Yep.
And
Tim English.
Tim English is one as well. Yep. He hasn't signed. Should have been a Crow anyway.
Yep.
Oh, great. Instead of Jordan Gallucci.
Yep.
Thanks, Don Pike. Not the recruiters. So there's some things there. So there's four or five.
Teams will start to swoop.
I think it's happening.
Yeah. Well, we know how clubs and recruiters are talking to player managers all the time. So, it's going to be an interesting one there. Jason Dunstall elevated to legend status in the AFL. 269 games, 1,254 goals, four premierships, three Colemans, and a lazy four All-Australians.
We all acknowledge the selection of him to become a legend is not debatable.
Nope.
The non-selection of Ken Farmer, who still is not a legend, is more than debatable. Yep. That's the only way I want to phrase it.
Fair call.
Full praise to...
Absolutely.
Not a problem with Jason Dunstall, but farcical that Ken Farmer is not a legend.
Very interesting. Maybe that will be the next AFL legend to be put in.
I can't work it out by now.
I did hear a couple of interviews with Jason Dunstall, and he played a little bit of rugby as a kid. And when you see some of his highlights, he's very strong through the hips and does not go to ground. And I think that's the key to a pretty good full forward.
Trained at Fitzroy and they sent him home.
Can you believe that?
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Mm.
Yeah. All right, we move on. Where are Essendon? Because they looked woeful against Port Adelaide, but looked energised against the Bulldogs. What should Adelaide expect? And we'll talk about this game in general a little bit more.
Probably going to answer a lot about both sides. It's a huge game tomorrow night, Friday night.
Absolutely. Big one for both teams.
Yeah.
The Cats and the Giants are off to the perfect start. How important is it banking early wins?
Oh, vital. And just Geelong, let's also remember how many more home games they've got at Cardinia Park to come. It means they can also rest players like they rested Hawkins and that on the weekend. You can actually argue it's probably not a great respect to North Melbourne, but that's where they're at. Dangerfield as well, so he'll come back in this week for the game against Brisbane. Brisbane Geelong this week up at Brisbane's a huge game.
Yep. Here's one for you, mate. Harley Reid or Jason Horne Francis, who are you taking?
Too early.
I know it's early.
Yeah, too early.
But have you got your early chips on, mate? Because we've seen a little bit of Harley Reid.
I love them both. Yep. It's looking Harley Reid might be more the all-round, where Horne Francis is the burst player out of the pack to win you the game. And love it. And also like it that Hinkley put him forward last week and won the game. So, it's a toss the coin. It really is. I love them both.
Yeah, I agree with you. They're going to be two players that we're going to see for the next 10, 12 years, barring hopefully any injuries. I think at the moment I'm probably taking Harley Reid on the basis that he's had to do it the hard way at West Coast. Not that Jason Horne-Francis had to do it at North Melbourne, but Horne-Francis has certainly flourished since he's arrived at Port Adelaide. So I'm a bit with you. I'm holding fire, but I'm just having Harley Reid ahead just at the moment anyway. All right, let's move on, mate. Let's start off with the Crows this week. Huge game against Carlton. Did everything right late in the game, about 10 or 11 points down with about 8 minutes to go, and then found another gear.
Yeah, kicked 3 goals then in the end. Look, if any game, if you kick 16-4, you're a fair chance to win it.
Very accurate which is unusual for the Crows.
Yeah, so look, out of that, and the goal where Mackay should have marked it and then Owe should have scored, and then the Crows thing and scored intelligent knockover by Smith, et cetera, and go forward. And then Carlton, two guys stuff up the kick. It was a terrible kick. Stuff it up for Fogarty to get it, to kick to Gallant and Cook. So
a pulsating game. I mean,
it was.
It was flying at one stage back and forth.
Fine line between pleasure and pain.
It is a little bit like that. Yeah. Obviously, Carlton had the game.
I think two people, they jump all over it saying, oh, Collingwood and Carlton, such, you know, great at close games. But it is like the Essendon game when against Collingwood, the guy hits the post from 30 yards out. Now, he kicks that goal, well, then Collingwood can't win. Now, their kickoff is still the greatest kickoff ever.
Yes.
With ending it, because they moved it from 4 seconds, whatever, from to mark for Elliott to kick the goal after the siren.
Yep.
But kick the goal beforehand, the game's over. So I think there's a lot of things where those teams have done it right in the crunch.
Yep.
But it's such a,
Is it a case of Adelaide finally getting a close one to give them that belief that sometimes you just need to hang in there and it'll happen for you?
Maybe, and also the fact that it was away, which they blew so many close games away last year, so possibly. But geez, come back. If they lose this week, they can't make the eight, so it's huge.
Absolutely, and if they win this week and then obviously beat North Melbourne the week after, they're 4-3. So it makes an interesting I think this week's round of matches are going to determine some ladder positions. Yep. We'll stick with Adelaide a little bit. Ben Key signing on for 3 more years. Good or bad or hold?
Hold for me. I don't know. I don't think I would have gone 3 years. I think 2 years was ample. And I don't mind having Keys as a role player. That's fine, but I hate it that Adelaide have so many. I don't like the fact they've got Murphy and Keys in that same forward line.
For me, I wouldn't play Murphy for the remainder of the year, to be honest with you. Adelaide obviously shuffled the deck chairs, had a bit of an impact. Was it the coach showing faith in his players to make that change or not make that change earlier on than round five?
Maybe, but it just Saligo, I can't work out why he was sub round one. Like, that was crazy.
Well, the only thing I can put my finger on is that he did come off of a limited preseason, so they are building him into it.
No, the preseason been right. He had come one injury. Well, if you decided someone sub, because you don't know someone's not going to get injured in the first minute and he comes on.
Yep.
So he, for mine, he either plays round one or he doesn't play, not the sub selection.
Yep.
So that was my bit.
Oh, fair call. We'll stick with Adelaide for just two more seconds. Should Darcy Fogarty try to base his game on Jeremy Cameron playing a little more up the ground and working back towards goal?
I'd like to see him moving around far more because at the moment it's not working for him and he's pretty lucky to still be in the side, but they really probably haven't got any other option.
Is it a case of Tex Walker, obviously, they say he's back, he played well, but the delivery of the ball, like we did talk about last week, makes him look slow, makes him look out of form when the ball's not moving in there quickly. And when you've got players like Rochelle, Rankin, Dawson, to a certain degree, Laird, having impact, basically lowering the eyes and actually hitting up the lead.
Dawson just hit him up with the lead there. The long kick over the top was perfectly placed. Wiedering's in front.
Yep.
Carries his jumps. That was easy, you know,
but
an easy
but
thing.
But that fast ball movement makes him look majorly better because he's got that one-on-one time.
Any forward, unless the ball's moved quickly, doesn't move as much. And, yeah, I'd love to see Fogarty move around and work a lot harder.
Fair call. Hence the reason why I think he should be watching Jeremy Cameron and his game on the weekend. I know it's against North Melbourne, but him moving up the ground and working back.
Just
he's got a lovely leg.
Yeah, but he's just got to get – I don't know if he's fit enough to do that role. And by now, he's been in the system long enough where he should be.
Fair call. Last one on Adelaide, Jack Lukosius to the Crows. Is he gettable during this trade period?
Possibly. I just want to see what happens with – If Gold Coast go on a run and he's playing half back pocket and he's using the ball beautifully, all of a sudden it's hunky-dory. I think we're jumping at Shadow saying, oh, he's shitty, he's not playing forward. I'm not so sure of that. I just want to wait and see a bit.
Do you see him as a defender or a forward? Because if he does come back in as a defender, then that's where Adelaide need to plug a few gaps at the moment. If he does play a forward, does that mean Thilthorpe goes into the ruck?
Hopefully, I'm just throwing
it out there.
For me, O'Brien's not the answer and never has been. Possibly. I just think Lukosius is a quality player. It's only going to be what you're going to have to give up on the trade table for him.
Fair call. All right, let's move on to Port Adelaide. Wasn't a game to really write home about as far as, you know, exquisite skills and everything else. Obviously, the big take out of the game was the Zach Butters incident, but we all know how that has turned out. Port had to do it the hard way against a determined Frio, and we've mentioned them a little bit earlier that we do think they're sneaking under the radar a little bit, but how far can Port Adelaide go when they're having to play these hard,
I think scrap wins like that gives you confidence that, hang on, we can keep at it, and if things aren't working our way. Let's also remember they were a couple of goals behind at halftime against Richmond at the G, and then they came back from there and ran all over Richmond.
Yep.
And, okay, Richmond are an average side at the moment, especially with all their injuries, but it was still a good win, and I think gutsy-type wins like that, big game this week against Collingwood.
Absolutely. We'll talk about that in a minute. Yep. What did you make of Charlie Dixon's animated conversation with Hinkley?
Oh, I think a mountain out of a molehill where, he's shitty, he doesn't get a free kick. Mm-hmm. And
I just look at it as two passionate guys who want to win for their team.
Yeah, I've got no problem with it.
Yeah, fair call. Can the Fab 3 or 4, because they put Willem Drew in that as the Fab 4
down. Gets under the radar.
I agree with you 100%. But the Fab 3 sort of got them over the line a little bit in that game. Can they continue to do that?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Good, yes.
Fair enough. Questions answered about the back line working well with Radagalia and...
Zerk Thatcher is a better player than I thought he was at watching at Essendon. I think he's, for me, he's been my surprise packet for the year. I thought it's a bit of a lukewarm recruit, but watching now, geez, Adelaide would love to have him, and I don't think they went
As hard as they should have now,
yeah.
I did see a stat on Zerk Thatcher in that I believe at Essendon, I think it was last year.
Yeah.
It may have been last year. He was leaking the most amount of goals from any Essendon player.
Yeah.
And this year at Port Adelaide, he has leaked the least. So
I think they've got the matchups better than he had to carry at Essendon.
Yep.
You know, suddenly they've got McKay there this year, so Zerk Thatcher wouldn't be getting that thing. So I think, yeah, I think he's just a better player than we realised.
Oh, fair call. What's your importance on the centre square and first look at the ball? Port do it better than most, and they make them pay.
I think it's vital because not only if you get it into your quickly into your 50, and then if you can lock it in, well, the opposition ain't scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just vital, and I think Soldo's been good for him there. Soldo's a mile better player than Riley O'Brien.
Yep, we're going to see that obviously play out in the showdown in a couple of weeks' time. You lead me into it that Soldo, they've recruited very intelligently.
Well. Very well.
For what they needed.
Yep.
Nah. So there's really no excuses for Port Adelaide at the moment.
No.
And I know that little window that comes up that shows you if you're in the premiership window and the green area, Port are smack dead in the bank, massively. Middle of it. And Brisbane are probably the other team that are not in the eight at the moment that are right in there as well. So, all right, we might just take a very, very quick break, mate. When we come back, we did miss the cricket last week, so we'll talk the cricket very, very quickly, but let's take a quick break now.
A dent and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Rogerstein Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Rogerstein Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly, and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynd, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Well, we thank Rogerstein Crash Repairs for a new sponsor, which I'm sure most people have seen on our socials over the last week or two. And we're obviously thankful that they've come on board.
Yep, thank you, Craig Stein.
Absolutely. Yep. Now, before we move on to the cricket, I have forgotten to do our tips, so we better get into that. Yep. The St Kilda Bulldogs game Thursday night, mate.
King out as well for St Kilda, but I'm going to go St Kilda purely not convinced the Bulldogs how happy they are.
Fair call. And I'm probably in the same boat, is that there's too many unknowns with the Bulldogs at the moment. St Kilda have been around the mark most of the game.
They're an iffy as well.
And but Ross Lyon seems to get the best out of his players. So, I'm going to go St Kilda there. All right, Friday night, Adelaide v Essendon.
If in doubt, toss the coin, comes down on home side. I'll go for Adelaide, but I think it's a 50-50 game.
Do you know Adelaide haven't beaten Essendon in the last seven attempts, I believe, or eight attempts?
Essendon have a good record. And, ironically, Adelaide have a good record against Carlton. So that did continue last week.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going to go Adelaide as well because I think that they're going to get their mojo back a little bit, and I do like this new midfield mix that they're going.
Crouch is a big out though.
Before we go on to that though, who comes in for Crouch?
I think Berry will come in. I would play Dowling. It is time to play Dowling.
What about Pedler? Where's Pedler at? Because last year he was the number one clearance.
Yeah, I like
for Adelaide, and if they're looking for clearance,
I just want him played in the middle at SANFL level, and say, right, you produce there a couple, you're back in the AFL. Stop trying to make him this hybrid forward. He's a midfielder. Mm-hmm. Play him there because I think he has the potential to be Adelaide's best midfielder.
Okay, so Adelaide obviously needing a midfielder to come in for Crouch.
Yep,
and we all know that. You know, we're talking about Pedler. He's down on form. Why not put him in the middle where he's following the ball around? That's the best way to get form.
I wouldn't mind that at all. personally.
And leave Berry on the bench. He came on and had an impact. Yeah. If he can do it again,
then
all of a sudden he becomes valuable in other ways.
Don't mind that as well. Yeah. But Dowling's performances deserve selection.
What about Butts? Butts is out, obviously, yeah, the hamstring.
He won't play.
Who's going to come in for him?
I think Borlase probably.
Yep. Yeah. Is it a case of Curtin comes in? Or could potentially come
in? I would, but I think they've decided they want to have him to play a couple more SNFL games. It's got me a little bit beat there that they went out of their limb to move up the draft order to get him, and yet we're going long term. I don't mind that, but it's still...
It's a fine line. Yeah. You've got to make sure you get them in and have a look at them early. No disrespect to North Melbourne, obviously, next week. Is that a case of a couple of sore boys might, you know, not make the trip?
Possibly. Let's get over this week first.
Agreed. Again, question without notice, could Walker stay at home and Dowling get his go there?
No, I'd be surprised if they did that.
No, fair call. All right, let's move on. Port Adelaide v. Collingwood. Collingwood v. Port Adelaide.
It's over in Melbourne. But I don't know why I've just got a gut feeling on the Fab 3 this week against Collingwood. So at this stage, I'm going to go Port. Admittedly, I want to wait till I see the sides. Mm-hmm. But at this stage... I'm going to go for Port to cause the upset.
I'm going to go with you on that one as well, thinking that Port might just go all right this week. The only thing that works a little bit in Collingwood's favour is they had the week off, so they're a little bit fresh. But they haven't exactly started the season all that well.
Bit better last game, so maybe. But, yeah, I still think there's some question marks there.
I want to see the Fab 3 or Fab 4 on the MCG. That's really my interest in that game there. Do we see too many changes happening for Port Adelaide? Again, we haven't seen the teams yet. So
I don't think they got injuries last week. I think they might be unchanged.
Fair call. All right, Carlton v. the Giants. Huge game in the context of Carlton.
It is. Taylor and Coniglio out for the Giants. If in doubt, I'm going to go the home side. I'm going to go for Carlton to rebound there, but it's a 50-50 game. I think Taylor's the best defender in the comp, so him out is massive.
Yep. For me as a Carlton supporter, this pains me to say, but I think the Giants are going to continue on. Yeah. They've won some close games, and I just think the injuries at Carlton at the moment are really a long time.
So who did Carlton lose? Saad and McGovern.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's confirmed. Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting watch on that one. Yeah. Brisbane v. Geelong up at the Gabba, mate.
Yeah, somehow Charlie Cameron plays. Jeez. I'll go Brisbane.
Fair call. The Derby, West Coast v. the Dockers.
I'm still going to go for Freo to rebound.
I think Freo as well. Good to see West Coast have a good win last week and did it really in style.
Whose home game is that this week?
That's West Coast's home game. And they still got 52,000 51,000.
Their support, considering they have been terrible, has been quite extraordinary.
That's a big tick for the West Coast, when you think about it.
It is massive. And that's where they are arguably the biggest club still.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can't fault their fans for turning up, win or rain, hail or shine, or win, lose or draw. Sydney v. the Suns. This one here's got a lot of interest for me. Yeah. I think this is a beauty.
Yeah, I think it'll be a ripper game. Again, if in doubt, go the home side. I'll go Sydney, but I would not be surprised for Gold Coast. And I reckon Walters just about he's been good. But, geez, he's about ready to dominate a game.
Yep. I'm going to go with you with the home team in Sydney, but I'm like
and King.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe.
Yep. Suns are showing some good signs at the moment. And North Melbourne v. Hawthorn. Wow, where do you go?
Nil all draw.
Marvel Stadium.
I'll go Hawthorn.
And Richmond and Melbourne having the bye.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's move on to cricket. We did promise some cricket.
The way Richmond are going, they might lose to the bye this week.
They could lose. You're right. All right, let's move on to cricket. South Australian name a new captain.
Yeah, look, I think he should have been captain this year. He's a class player. I hope he goes back to four.
Mm-hmm.
He moved up to three.
Yep.
We need Drew and form. There's several things there which South Australia, there's still big question marks.
Yep.
Hopefully Jake Weatherall comes back.
Yep. And you've got they've recruited some Victorian players, McKenzie and Sanger.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts
Sanger's
on that?
Sanger's from New South Wales. Yep. I'm just not sure on either. I think Sanger's got a lot of ability.
So a lot of upside.
Yeah, hasn't turned enough starts into big scores. But he's a maybe. I just hope they don't automatically get picked. And yet again, the South Australian guys, you know, like, yeah, you just get banished as they did for Cardner and Fraser McGurk, yeah.
Question without notice, you've probably seen on the socials that South Australian have changed their logo. Yeah. What are your thoughts in rebranding or going back to the future sort of thing? Is this a fresh start or is this something that you're clutching straws a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's clutching straws. Yeah. I had no problem with getting called the Redbacks. I don't think that changed any performances out on the ground. Yeah, a bit Mickey Mouse for more.
That's okay, not a problem. All right, we'll stick with cricket. Renshaw and Harris in form for the county sides to start the season. Encouraging signs.
It is, and we need them both in form. Like, we need to uncover another opening batsman or two. Because let's also remember, Khawaja's 35.
And he's hinted that he's thinking about...
Yeah, so you've lost Warner, we need a cut. And Smith really hasn't worked. Hasn't been the dismal failure that few people have made it out to be as well. But there's certainly a couple of opening spots up for grabs. Now, Renshaw had a horrible Shield season. Mm-hmm. I think he averaged 21 in the end.
Yep.
And Harris consistently the level below. You go, geez, this couldn't win. Then he looks average at thing. But, yeah, we need both those two to perform.
Women's cricket in Bangladesh, was it more about the promotion of the game rather than the Australians winning 6-0?
Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, I think that's
a fair call.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things where they've got to get the ladies playing in Bangladesh. I think that's more important than the game of cricket. We could talk for another hour on those social issues. Yes. That's not us. It's important that they play.
But that's what I'm saying, that it was important. Yeah. The result meant nothing. No, it was more about the promotion of the game. Yeah. Australia helping out Bangladesh and trying to, encourage women to play.
Yep.
The last one on the cricket, mate, Travis Head goes absolutely nuts in the IPL. What was it, 102 off 39 balls?
Yeah, and I think it was 82 in boundaries. I think there was, I'm trying to remember, it was 37 or 31 sixes in that game. The grounds they're playing on is about as big as this room we're in, Pete. Jeez.
And let me tell you, it's pretty tiny, really, when you think about it. All right, let's move on to the SANFL, mate. Round two games, at Nord v Glenelg at the, as you call it, the home of football, parade.
Yeah. Look, I'll be honest.
Entertaining game.
To find out just after we'd done last week's show that McBean wasn't playing due to his sister's wedding, on a Friday night, you would have thought, would have played and then got first plane and driven the rest. So look, but as Nord, I thought you bloody beauty, this all of a sudden
changes
it up dramatically because we haven't got a match up for him.
Yep.
Heard then goes to so Donnelly took Hosey. Heard did really well in his normal role.
Mm-hmm.
And at halftime, it's 1 point the difference. And Glenelg would look more efficient going forward. They look more likely to kick a goal. We'd had, I think, 9 more inside 50s at half time.
Yeah, and about 6 more scoring shots. But a lot of them were rushed.
Yeah. So Dew came in a little bit more, and I thought that helped us where we kept it in close. And then our man Jackson Callow kicked the goal. Let's just say we heard him well and truly how excited he was that he kicked the goal.
Yep.
It was very entertaining, Jacko.
Yes.
He did compliment us both too last Friday night, so we'll take that, Pete.
Absolutely. And I seen him have a little bit of a wrestle down in the northern square there.
He's a good man.
He is a good man.
And out of that, and then Nord kicked 4 goals in the next 13 minutes. So the game, I thought, at three-quarter time, we should win this from here.
Yep.
And we were just efficient. So, yeah, look. Okay, it's been 2 games at Nord.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Nord back as a fortress again.
Yep.
So it's a good, encouraging start. Big game this week down at Port Lincoln now.
Absolutely. So. I did attend the game as well. I thought that the Tigers, Glenelg, were a little bit rushed at times, which was very unlike Glenelg from what I've seen previously. Nord put the pressure on and really forced them to make a lot of errors, but Glenelg were very impressive from the kickouts. They just seemed to have that set play, and their movement were very, very impressive.
What's a little bit nervous at the moment is how many injuries Richmond, et cetera, have got, long-term injuries, and I'm just using Richmond as the example. Mm-hmm. Nord could easily lose two or three in this mid-season draft, mm-hmm. and that's where I'm so nervous at the moment. You almost want to be just okay at the moment
yep.
with a couple of guys, but I'd be amazed if there's not at least two or three Nord guys at the moment
that might get
would be the headline at Axe there, which is a bit of a worry.
Fair call. All right, we'll leave that one there. We move on. Woodville West Torrens defeating North Adelaide. Pretty handy margin.
Yeah, probably that's the thing there. It wasn't so much Woodville West Torrens winning, but it was the margin and yep. the ease.
Yep.
Well done to Woodville West Torrens, but yeah, a little bit worrying about Roosterland there, and yeah.
Bit of a change down at Prospect Oval there at the moment. Seemed to have just hit that speed hump a little bit quicker than most of us thought. So congratulations again to Woodville West Torrens. We're hoping to get somebody on from Woodville West Torrens next week as part of our SNFL segment.
I will chase up David Kuzner.
Central Districts getting over Adelaide at the Ponderosa.
Yeah, look, again, predictable result, probably the margin and the fact Central's have probably lacked a key goal kicker, a couple of kick five. So, yeah, a good result for the Dogs at the Ponderosa.
Woodville West Torrens and Central's being the surprise packets early on in the season here, and you would hope that obviously Adelaide and Port Adelaide with a little bit of depth there, and especially Port Adelaide, you would expect that they'd be going all right, and that leads us into our next game where West Adelaide got up out in the country there at Wakery. Over Port Adelaide with pretty much the last kick of the day.
Yeah, they came home well. Probably with Ports not having a huge amount of injuries at AFL level this stage, I thought that would have been too good for mm-hmm. Westies, but an encouraging result by the Bloods. Mm-hmm. And, probably a little bit of worry if Port gets some injuries.
Well, this is what I was going to ask, is that you would expect them to be going along all right at the moment, considering we know how strong their league side is.
Mm.
But we're not seeing that at the SNFL level. So it's a little games, bit of a worry.
Two losses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And they did get touched up by Glenelg in round one. So.
Yeah.
And then Sturt accounting for South Adelaide reasonably easy there, mate.
Yeah. South have just, some of their kids are good, but they've just lost too much experience at once. Yeah. I think they're in for a long year.
Fair call. All right, let's move on to round three, South Adelaide v Centrals.
I'll go for the Dogs. I'll
go the Dogs there as well. Sturt v North.
I'll go for the Double Blues.
Out at Prospect Oval there. Glenelg at home to Adelaide.
Yeah, I'll go Glenelg.
I'll go Glenelg as well. Norwood v the Bloods. Now, let's just say
it's at Port
we've tipped against Norwood the last 2 weeks and they've had two very, very good wins. Do we secretly tip against them again?
Oh, secretly.
Secretly?
Quietly, I'll be disappointed if we don't get up here.
Fair call. Norwood for me as well there. And that's obviously at Centenary Oval at Port Lincoln.
Yep.
Already seen
home of Jacob Kennelly.
Mm. Already seen some social media posts there. They're getting up there early and some community engagement, which is very, very good. And the Eagles v Port Adelaide out at Mountain Oval there, where the Villies pasties are spicier.
This is old time. This is before Villies. This was Mike Coward. The pasties are spicier at Woodville.
Fair call.
So no, I'll go for Woodville West Torrens. I might go and have a look at that on Sunday too.
All right, and the ladder is Woodville West Torrens, Central's Norwood, Sturt and Glenelg. Yeah. Interesting ladder shaping up. All right, let's move on to the SNFLW. Norwood playing Glenelg there. You were commentating on that game?
The
under-18s game.
Controversial finish, though. The last play for Glenelg, a very doubtful mark was paid, and then whether it was touched as well was very much up for debate as well.
Yep.
So Glenelg probably a little bit lucky there. Again, they got away to a good start. Norwood came from behind, kicked four in a row to hit the front,
mm-hmm.
and Glenelg kicked the goal to win the game with the last kick of the game. Yep. So,
Central Districts accounting for West Adelaide.
Yeah.
Not too much of a surprise.
No.
Westies have been the big improvers.
But the Dogs, yeah, let's remember they are the reigning premiers, so yeah.
Fair call. Woodville West Torrens accounting for North Adelaide there reasonably comfortably, and the South Adelaide Panthers just getting up over Sturt.
Yeah, so look, as we've said a few times, I still think South are arguably the team to beat there, mm-hmm. and so they're coming through now after a slow start for the first couple of games.
All right, let's move on to round seven. It's hard to think that the women's are in round seven and the men's are in round three, but we've got Glenelg v. the Woodville Torrens Eagles.
Yeah, big game that. At Glenelg, I'll go for Glenelg, but yeah, that's a real toss of the coin.
Yep, 7:40 Friday night. Yep. We've got the Panthers v. the Dogs. This one's another one as well. Yeah.
At the Ponderos,
at
Flinders Uni. Yep. I'll go for South.
Yeah, I'll go for South Adelaide there as well. Norwood v West Adelaide at the Parade.
Yeah, I'll go the Legs.
I'll go Norwood there just as well. Yeah. And Sturt v the Roosters out at Theberton.
I'll go for the Double Blues.
Currently the ladder sits Glenelg, South, Centrals and Nord only playing a top four there.
Yep.
Just before we move on to the soccer very, very quickly, I did have a little bit of a look through the fixture for the league team and the reserves teams for the men's.
Yes, yes.
And there's an anomaly that I had to actually double check, triple check and quadruple check. That Nord play North Adelaide 3 weeks in a row.
What we're thinking, we think that's the AFL's trial for the three grand finals in a row, and so Nord North are the guinea pigs. Now it is bizarre, ridiculous, insane, stupid, and frustrating for mine not giving the reserves comp much respect at all. Yep. You might as well not even have it if you're going to do that.
Yep. Just thought it was an interesting anomaly that I happened to come up with a couple of weeks ago. We've been meaning to bring it up, and I've just thought about it then going.
Just say we may have discussed that a few of us this week. And I've probably been mild with my comment there compared to a couple of people.
No, fair call. All right, let's move on to soccer. Round 23, Adelaide United v. MacArthur going down 2-1.
And drew last night.
And
too.
Nesta Urukondo's last game, obviously, at Hindmarsh Stadium there. Send him off in, you know, pretty good style. But the big banner that they announced before the game there, the supporters celebrating, obviously, this is the 20th year of the A-League, and Adelaide United obviously being in the A-League. You know, it was a very, very good sight. But like you mentioned last night there, up 3-2 against Western United there, had the game in their hands, and a last-minute goal there means that they share the points. It makes it awfully hard now for them to make the top six.
Yeah. The old, when you start to use the words mathematically it's still possible, you know your season's cactus.
Yep. All right, mate, let's take a very, very quick break. When we come back, Robbie Neal, part two.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break. Past players, past legends, past legends.
So he rang me in February and said, how would you feel about coming to Adelaide? We'll come over for a train and whatever. And I said, oh, yeah, why not? I knew a few of the guys. I knew Scotty Doreen was coming over, and we played together at Sydney. And Todd Davey was an ex-Swans under-19s boy and all that sort of stuff. And I knew Johnny Cunningham, Ann Harvey, Dale Fleming. Just from underage and playing against each other all the way through. And so I came over, had one training session, absolutely loved it. And the boys were wonderful. I went back to Melbourne and I was supposed to go on a camp with Sandringham. And I rang Andy Collins and said, look, Colo, I'm going to go to Adelaide. He wasn't too happy. And then obviously a few years later, he lobbed up coaching Westies. But I moved over, probably expecting to be here for maybe 6 months, see how it went. And yeah, mate, it's just a tick over 26 years now.
I was going to say he's still here. Now, I would have been shot. I'd forgotten to do this, Pete. There is one moment when Robbie was playing for Sydney, and he looks up and he sees a banner, Bob Neal, with NEIL on it, and he thinks, "Oh, that's nice that I've got some support here and all that." But they could at least spell my bloody name correctly. And I admit I was ringing Denny Hansen. That's who I was talking to on the phone when I walked in, trying to remember if there was any others there. And he told me exactly where it was, and it was just a plain Bob Neal. And so he walks up to Scotty Robinson, and Scotty Robinson goes, "Hey, pal, it's nothing to do with you, mate. It's to do with the Adelaide Footy Club. He is a legend, not you, pal." So,
Well, the other funny part about that, Mel, is that I mentioned Troy Gray. Troy worked at Sydney Uni. and he was doing a bit of bar work there. And
yes.
the guy who managed the bar went to Adelaide Uni, and he had the Bob Neil songbook.
Yes, so, no, and then I gave you one.
There's a Bob Neil stand. I'm going, mate, yeah. I swear, like, mate, I've got a fan club up on the eastern side, just in front of the Bill O'Reilly the wrong, stand.
Yeah,
mate.
Yeah.
And he goes, nah. He said, mate, they're from Adelaide Uni. I'll show you. And he's brought out the Bob Neil songbook and had it. So I know you gave me a copy.
Yeah, when you first started at Nord, yeah. Yeah,
I already had one, mate. I had one in 1994, so one of the first copies, I reckon. But yeah, that's how we got it. But Robbo, he was a Nord boy.
Yes.
Previous to that, before going to Sturt when he got back, but he was a good mate of mine there. But yeah, he knew who Bob Neil was and told us all the Macca stories and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So I had a good feel for the Nord Footy Club before I actually moved over here.
And I reckon you'd only been there because you came over. You immediately started working at the club, didn't you? So I thought, I'll blow this, I'll do the right thing, you know, go make the guy welcome and walk in, introduce myself for about the first week. Yeah, and you left that Bob Neil songbook, I reckon, on your desk the entire time you worked at Nord too.
Oh, yeah, we used to sing through it because Barry Solomon would come in and he'd have a look at it, and then, yeah, Matt Suckling and Jared Keisha, just all the boys. We sort of educated him on the legend of Bob Neil. And to this day, I still haven't met Bob.
I think we'd better organise that.
Yeah, I had a Bob Neil shirt, Bob Neil 130
yes.
on it. And I had that. I reckon Johnny Kernahan might have given that to me, I reckon, at one stage. But, yeah, I had Bob Neil merchandise, all that sort of stuff, had the songbook, whatever, and still haven't met the great man. And there's been all these – mate, I thought he's like Mr. Snuffleupagus. So I reckon people had said, you know, Bob Neil's going to be at the Havelock tonight. Yeah, no, as I'd be there and he wouldn't be there and all that sort of stuff. So, fed all this crap and still haven't met him, mate. So get it sorted.
I think the closest we've got is a photo of both of you holding my book, mate. That's probably the closest.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yes. So okay.
Well, you arrived at Norwood. Yeah. Who did you play against in your first game, mate?
Our first game was against West Adelaide in '98, and yeah, we played him at West. He's got off to a pretty good start. In fact, my first two kicks for Norwood were goals. Which was good, but we ended up getting done, unfortunately. We had a bit of a hangover in 98. It took us a while to get going.
Yeah.
Some guys had some sort of injuries sort of over the pre-season. And probably the thing that I felt when I moved over here, because I didn't get here till sort of March 98, I just thought the training intensity was pretty poor from where I'd been, because I remember how we treated it when we were at St Kilda and we'd lost the grand final and what we'd actually done. So what I'd come from, to then I just felt everyone was reasonably complacent and quite happy. That was just what I sensed, and I could sense that sort of throughout the year. And I could just sense that I think, yeah, some players were really busting their backside like they really should. And as a result, we finished third, which was okay, but it was pretty much done on talent, I think, rather than guys really wanting to go back to back. And we sort of went out in straight sets in that 98 series, But we played, obviously, you know, a lot of final series. The last two or three years at Nord were pretty hard. Financially was tough. I was working at the club as well. I worked for as a development officer, but also then a game development coordinator as a sample employee inside the club.
That's right.
Then went on. I did all my studies in my degree in sports management and all that sort of stuff. So I studied while I was working towards the end of my footy career, and then when it was sort of time to finish up, which was end of 05, we were sort of in a position where I couldn't see us winning a premiership for a few years, and it was almost time for the younger fellas to take over and for the club to start to bring some good young talent in.
So your coach, obviously, when you arrived in Auburn, was that Peter Rode?
Peter Rode, yeah. Yep. And Rodey then went to the Bulldogs at the end of 99. Yeah. We played in the grand final against Port and got done by 8 points. It was a pretty close game. And then 99, Rodey went, and then Neville Roberts took over. Neville had a couple of years before Macca came back for 3 years until the end of 04. And then Dale Lewis had 1 year in 05. And I was almost going to pull the pin at the end of 04. But then when I heard Louis was coming, I'd played with Louis at the Swans. So just to sort of help him out, I played for one more year. But at the same time, North Adelaide were actually, because I was actually working, my sample job worked in both the North Adelaide and Norwood zones, working our game development programs. And North Adelaide were actually Jars wanted to get me over to North at the end of my career, but I said I couldn't. I said the Norwood Footy Club had been so good to me, and I wanted to be a one-club player. Loyalty sort of meant a fair bit. Because that was the thing. Once I left St Kilda, I wanted to go somewhere where I could play 100 games, but just sort of, I wanted the club to feel like my home club in Canberra, you know, like where you really your community and where you're from, and you represent it accordingly. It's a bit hard in the AFL. You sort of, you know, you were, even in the 90s, it was still a little bit business-like. You didn't feel as attached to the footy club as you do to the clubs that, you know, you feel that you're actually sort of part of the community. It's just the way that I feel with footy. So I made sure that, everywhere I've lived has been inside the Norwood zone. So I'm, entrusted in it. And, it just helped me to learn a lot about the club, learn about the history of it. And I'm a bit of a history buff.
I love that.
Before you. Yeah. I just love all the blokes that have gone before you, when you can actually sort of sit there and, you know, you can look through the old pictures and all that sort of stuff, and just understand, you know, the privilege you actually have of representing a footy club when you've had, you know, the guys in, you know, I call recent times, but, you know, the Michael Taylors, Gary McIntosh, Michael Aish, who are obviously still alive to be able to grace us with their presence at a past players function, to, you know, all the guys, whether it be Ron Kneebone.
And I love it that you love your number too, Scratcher, that you research the number, you know, your number 10 with Woody and stuff like that. I love that.
Yeah, it's just so important, I think. You know, and even with the young kids you sort of coach today, they think footy was invented when they were born, you know. It's like, guys, you know, do your research, because it's really important. You know, and the one thing where I learned that too, rule book, as I'll tell you, Dermot Brereton was unbelievable. Him and Richard Osborne, because when we'd fly interstate to play, we used to play little trivia games like on the plane and stuff like that. And mate, they knew the names of blokes who might have only played one or two AFL games, because they used to sit there and read the footy record.
Yeah.
Like you'd buy one on the way into the game, you know, and they'd sit there and study it and just, where's everyone from? All that sort of stuff. They knew everything about everyone, and they were footy buffs. And that was, and I was a bit like that as a kid, but you know, when you had guys like that who were, and they were guns, like Richard Osborne, he was a cracking player, and obviously played most of his footy for Fitzroy, where they were struggling, but he was a Victorian representative every day of the week.
Yep.
And as was Derm, and Derm put his body through hell. But if it was good enough for them, mate, to understand the landscape and respect everyone who'd played the game, either with them or before them, was certainly good enough for me. And Trevor Barker was another one, mate. When you talk about Gary McIntosh and loyalty, Trevor Barker was the equivalent.
Yeah, same sort of thing. Yeah.
St Kilda. Just the same mentality, different blokes. Barks is the pretty boy and all the rest of it, and Gary, something different. But, mate, when it came to integrity and the way they actually went about their footy and what the club meant to them, and they were from the heart of their zone as well for each club, and that was the other thing that rubbed off on me.
And 99, so close but so far. And what was it? I admit I never watched a GF that we lose ever again, so I've never watched 1 second of that again. Apart from, I must admit, I did check whether I thought Lenny Pascoe should have marked that ball, which bloody Tom Carr spoiled. That's about the only thing I've checked.
Well, and
checked
you,
again.
And you got seconded to North Adelaide last year for their reunion. So.
No, that was a different year, though. That was the 18 one, Yeah, that was actually quite funny. I had to go to North, and as I'm driving there, Scratcher, I'm thinking, shit, I reckon it's the North 2018 reunion. And I get there, and of course that game's playing on the screen, so I'm turning the other way. Yeah. And to Akari's and Serge's credit, they were then shitbagging me, and then I'm yelling out, get the 22 grand final on, get King's goal on, and Cameron Craig, who I'd coached, and that's going, piss off, I never want to see that again. So it was good barter, actually. But, the 99, so it was so close but so far. And I reckon you played mainly down back that year, Scratcher, too.
Yeah, I did. I did. I kicked 40-odd goals that year, but I was
down back, yeah.
The week before, I had a back injury going into the last game. Well, we had to beat South at Norlunga to actually make the finals, to make the five. And we beat them down there. And there was a host of us that were injured, and we got through. And I had a back spasm. Anyway, the following week, we played Sturt in the first final. I played down back. I reckon I'm like Stephen White. He's like 198 centimetres.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 185. It was a little bit ridiculous. But played there, and then we played Glenelg, and I played on Ben McEntee, who ended up playing a little bit with us at
with
North
us,
as well.
Yep.
And he used to jump, but he's a bit of a live wire, so I sort of played on him just to keep him reasonably quiet. Then we played the prelim, and I was playing on Rob Pyman, and I went for a mark in the first quarter and landed on my ankle and did my ankle, and then it hurt a bit, and I got it strapped up at quarter time by Julie Knights, who was our physio.
Yep.
At the time, so Julie strapped up my ankle at quarter time. Anyway, I've gone up, I've taken another mark in the second quarter and landed on it, and then Pies, I think, fell on me and then had his weight, and then I really did my ankle again. So I was actually done twice, and I thought I'd broken it, mainly because it was strapped up so tight and I was still able to roll it. I thought, oh no, this is gone. And I felt it was a crack. And anyway, I ended up getting taken off, and I thought, I'm done. And we ended up winning that prelim against the Eagles. It was pretty close. And I think Clemo might have kicked a goal reasonably late.
Yeah, that's right. You did too.
We ended up winning it.
Yep.
We ended up winning it. And I remember going to SportsMed sort of before we had awards back at the club, had an x-ray, et cetera, and Chopper Verrill, our doctor, was able to say, nah, it's all good. Then Glenn Ross said, rightio, I don't care whether you don't come to work this week. Get yourself right for next week, see how you go. Anyway, it was a grade two, so usually this would probably be about a six-week injury.
Yep.
So anyway, I stayed up for 2 days, didn't sleep really, icing every 2 hours for 48 hours. Then I went down the beach every day. We used to use electric soda crystals at St Kilda. We used to have our Kenny Whiffen, who was our head trainer, he used to have packets of it. He used to put it in a stocking dry, put it on your ankle, and it's like an osmosis. It draws all the fluid out. I did that every night for probably most of the week. Went to Julie Knights twice a day for physio. And at the same time we were going for physio, Jason Gillespie was getting done on his broken leg that he collided
from
with
Sri Lanka.
Steve
Ball.
Sri Lanka. So we're all in the physio at the same time this week. And Dizzy's in there getting worked on, and Julie, you're killing me, and swearing and carrying on. Then there's me, there's Harves, has got a TENS machine on, there's Damien Nobbs sitting over there with something. Mate, it was like a crocodile farm, just sort of in Julie's little physio there in Dulwich, you know, has had blokes lying around everywhere. She was taking about 6-7 clients at a time just to get people through. Anyway, I knew by Wednesday the swelling was starting to come down, and that was the biggest problem. I knew by Wednesday I jogged 5 laps. I said, I'm going to get up. I said to Rody, I'm right. He said, oh, are you sure you've got to train Friday and get through a fitness test? I said, throw it at me. So we did. And so I got through, and Brian Benke was the one that I had to take. And Benks had had a pretty good 98 in particular, and he reinvented himself from a defender to a forward.
Yeah.
So Benks was pretty he had a pretty good second semi, I reckon, and so I ended up having Benks. And what I had to do though was play an arm's length away from him so he couldn't push off me, because he was strong. But the other thing, I was just worried about my ankle, so I just kept my distance from him. And then when he'd go, I'd go at the same time and just make sure I made body contact on spoils and all that sort of stuff, and just had to defend angles reasonably well.
I remember on memory.
I played all right on the day.
Yeah.
Didn't get much of the ball, but I had to defend. I knew what my job was, and to keep him quiet was always going to give us some sort of opportunity to win the game.
And by memory, I reckon Harves and Sponge came into the game under big injury clouds as well. So we had got a few guys sort of to the line, just.
I don't think Scotty had played for 10 weeks.
Yeah.
I think he'd been out for a while, yeah. We had blokes, who were really coming in. But, we played well, though. Paul had a lot more injury, had a lot more scoring shots, but probably 8 more scoring shots on the day. But, just sort of Phil McGinnis kicked a torp at the end.
Yeah, no.
On the work and
hey, come on,
through.
Don't bring back memory. Don't bring.
Yeah,
don't send me back to rehab again. Yep. All right, and you did make the Advertiser Team of the Year in 99 too, so that probably does emphasise that you had a very consistent year. Then you did really play mainly up forward for Nord after that, leading goal kicker 5 times too, Scratcher, which is a fair effort.
Yeah, I was as a kid though, Mel. I never played my AFL footy as a mid forward, where I felt natural at that, and that's where I'd been an underage All Australian, etc. I played as mainly as a sort of deep defender and defending the lead a lot and playing on a range of different blokes. I never really played on smalls all the time. Sometimes I'd play on talls, Kingsley Hunter, who was 195, to playing on Brent Heaver. Like, I was just sort of, you're defending the crumb one week and then you're defending leads. And because it was quite a, spread oval back then, a lot of one-on-ones, it was high scoring and all that sort of stuff. So you developed a fair bit of anxiety playing as a defender back then. And that's where I got chucked. I never got coached actually how to do it. It was like, find it out yourself.
Yeah.
So playing, when I got to Norwood, whilst I did play a bit as a defender, I'd had 3 years experience playing it in the AFL, or actually longer than that, probably, 5 years of playing as a defender in the AFL, which helped me as a sample player, definitely. But, I didn't have that as an AFL player. I didn't have any sort of record prior to that. But playing as a forward and a mid, that was my natural game. And being able to, be able to do that for Ade was really good. I was happy to sort of play anywhere for the team. Didn't really matter. But I felt a lot more comfortable playing as a mid forward.
Highlights of the three state games?
They were good fun, yeah. One at the MCG against Victoria. That was good, 99. It was a curtain raiser to probably the last State of Origin game, I think.
That's right,
South Australia played against Victoria. And then we played two at Adelaide Oval, played against WA in 2000 and then the VFL again in 2001, which Brett Zorzi played for Victoria. Yeah.
Zorza played on a wing.
Yeah, Zorba played in that. And then another guy called Johnny Giorgio, who played one year at Norwood.
Yep.
He played with me at St Kilda as well. So, played against Johnny. So, it was always good fun when you play those state games. There's always some, all of us have played with someone from the opposition.
Yeah.
They're always good to get back together and play those games. And they're different to other games. Like, they're sort of not that physical, to be honest. Like, everyone's trying to get the ball and, Like, it's reasonably free-flowing. Really wonderful nonetheless to be able to put on the red Guernsey and represent the sample.
And caused a major frustration not playing in a flag, Robbie?
Yeah, it is. And it came close, a number of times. I lost two in Canberra as well at senior level, with Eastlake. So, it was very disappointing when you sort of look back on that and there's guys who played in four and all that sort of stuff. So it would have been good now to have a little asterisk against my name there in the locker there at the Red Legs Club, but wasn't to be. But to be honest, all the friendships that you make.
Yeah, that's the key thing.
And I suppose your sense of belonging in the environment there that I'm lucky enough to still have because I go back there quite a bit with, watching the girls play in the Sample W and my state players that are playing. So I still go to the club quite a bit in my working capacity. But, I always had a great sense of belonging at the club, having worked there, understand the workings of the place. And, it's certainly my home, mate. More so than when I think about my club in Canberra. I've obviously been there for a long time now. But Norwood is always, it was always been my home. It has been for 26 years and will hopefully remain that way for, the next 30, 40 years.
I was impressed to see your daughter wearing the St Kilda clothing on Sunday. I reckon that's a fair effort on your behalf where, I reckon a lot of guys would have had the shits quite rightly the way that ended. And that's I actually honestly thought of that on Sunday when I called out to you. I actually thought I reckon that's a testament to you as well, mate, to you and your better half.
Had I had her at age 24, 25, might have been a different story. But when you think back, you reflect and, a lot of water goes under the bridge there. But I'll tell you a story. She actually went for Fremantle. So she used to like the colour purple when she was little. So she started following the Dockers. And then she got to about 10 and goes, why the hell am I going for Fremantle? And then she started taking a bit of an interest because she can actually, she's Googling and searching and she'd look at games and, she goes, oh, Dad, did you show me some games you played? And, have a look at that, whatever. And then she started to develop a bit of an affinity. Now, I'm in a past players group on with St Kilda. We've got a WhatsApp past players group. Sean Ralph Smith runs that and does a great job. And a lot of us all keep in contact via that. And a fellow by the name of Cam Roberts at the club at St Kilda, he keeps a database of all the past players and have sons and daughters who are currently playing footy. Kira's on that. She plays footy at Hectorville. She's playing for the Hounds.
I thought she was Hectorville. Yep.
She's not bad. She can snap a footy too. book, so she'll be might be doing that in the Nord under 15s in a couple
good,
of years.
Good to hear.
So she's not too bad. She has a minor snap.
Nothing wrong with that.
Like her old man there. Nothing wrong with that. But no, look, I just thought, you know, she's got a bit of an affinity, and you know, as a young kid now who's starting to embrace the game, she really loves her footy. She actually has a bit of sentiment behind wearing the jumper. You know, if your dad's worn it, she feels an attachment to it rather than the Dockers, I suppose. So yeah, perhaps if she knew James Ash and knew him when I was coaching him, you know, she might feel a bit different about the Dockers. Who knows? But no, she likes it. She gets a lot of correspondence. She's a junior member, so I'm glad that she's got a vested interest in the Saints.
Absolutely, mate. We know that, and I know Rulebook's itching to ask you about your development stuff with the SNFL, but let's just you finish up football at Norwood, and what was your role leading towards obviously the development stuff with the SNFL? You did some underage stuff.
Yeah, so I worked in game development for beginning of 1999. I did a traineeship through the Sandford, and there was a number of us. Each club had a development officer, and we all studied as well as work design. So we basically ran all the game development programs in the schools in the zone, and also coordinated the primary school footy competitions as well. So I did that for 4 years till the end of 2002. And then at the end of that year, we ended up becoming Sandford workers working in the Norwood zone. And I actually had to do two clubs. We ended up, the AFL cut some funding back and we had to have less guys do more work. So yeah. I ended up working in both the Norwood and North Adelaide zone. So I'd go to Norwood training wearing a North Adelaide polo because I'd come from work, you know, working at Enfield Primary School or something like that, you know. And so North were happy for me to, and I did a good job in their zone, but they never felt that they were getting the true representation because it wasn't a North Adelaide player. Hence why they tried to recruit me there at the end of 2004 so they could get their player and have the guy work in their zone as well. So James Moore was a little bit sly back in those days, him and Jars. But anyway, so my studies were, I was able to study whilst I was working as well. As I said, I worked in game development until about the end of 2009. And then I was actually made redundant at the Sandford and then had sort of nowhere to go. And about 3 weeks prior to that, Nathan Bassett had wanted me to come back to Norwood as the development manager under David Odie, who was our talent manager, coach the under-16s, but look after all the development squads. And I said, look, I've just re-signed with South Adelaide to coach their under-18s. 3 weeks later, I get made redundant. So I rang Oates, David Odie, back and said, Oates, is that job still going that Bass rang me about? He said, yeah, it is. And I said, oh, I've just been made redundant at the end of it. And it was when the GFC hit. So there was a lot of redundancies sort of going here, there and everywhere. There's probably about eight at work at the time. So that's how I got back to Norwood. And I was able to go straight back in and be the development manager under Oates and work with Bass as well. So I worked back at Norwood for about 7 years before then taking over, coming back to the Sandford. I'm the talent manager of the female programs now. So I look after our state under 16 and under 18 and pathways opportunities for the girls with our Sandford clubs. And we're national champions now.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
We've done pretty well on our 16s. Won last year, and we just beat Victoria by 63 points at Prospect Oval on Sunday. So we're hopefully beat WA this Sunday, and we'll go back-to-back champions.
What is that at level two? What game? What time? And where's that game on Sunday, mate?
Yeah, we play at Febby Oval, mate, at 1 PM this Sunday. And we've got probably about 9 girls already in our under 16 team now that have played senior Sandford W footy. So we've got some terrific young kids who are running around out there. Young Emma Charlton, sister of Tia Charlton, playing with the Crows. She's running around out there. And we've got some daughters, Daniel Ebert, who played at North Adelaide. His daughter, Nevi, is playing with us. His, the other daughter plays in our under 18s. Layla, so yeah, it's terrific. Steve Patterson's daughter, is now under 18s as well.
That's Violet, isn't it?
It's good fun, mate. It's a little bit of a reunion, you know, with a lot of the guys. And Timmy Weatherall coached our state for 3 years, sort of prior to that too. So no, it's been wonderful, mate. And the kids are getting better each year. And I don't really work a day, to be honest. This is it's a real passion of mine. And and just making sure that, yeah, the girls get a really good opportunity and the, you know, the pathway further develops for them.
Are you able to give us a little bit of insight into, obviously you worked with the junior boys, or the zones obviously for Norwood and North, but the explosion of SANFLW and how the pathways have now basically been created from nothing, or very little support in the past. Are you able to give us a bit of insight into how it's changed the SANFL and moving forward? Obviously, the SA is being represented by some very, very good junior girls. Obviously, we've got a lot to look forward to with them progressing through to the AFL, but it's probably that next level behind them that's important. And, yeah, just give us some insight into your role there.
Well, you can't do anything. If we haven't got a strong base in terms of our participation first, but you've got nowhere. So our community clubs are the absolute – they are everything as far as what our program you know, models itself on. So basically when I got back to the sample, I remember we had our under 18 academy. It's my first week and they were testing in the Indoor Cricket Centre at Adelaide Oval. And I said to my work colleague, Emma McPherson, who I'd known Emma since she was 18 when she started with us at Sample in about 2008. This is 2017, so she's, you know, mid to late 20s by this time. And I said, Emma, and we got on really well. And I said, how do these girls actually get here? Mm-hmm. She said, oh, I just put out a link and put it on social media and all this sort of stuff, and players just come and try out and for our state team. I said, right. I said, are our best players here testing? And she said, no. And I said, why not? She said, well, they know they're going to get in, so they don't need to come. They just don't come. I said, right, things are changing. So what we ended up doing is basically implementing our structure with our boys. So what happens is that our sample clubs, all of our state players have to come via their sample club, and they need to come from their zone, be nominated by the community clubs through to their sample club, and it's based on your residential where you live. If you live in a particular zone, you're nominated by your community club to go into your sample club, and then you come into our state program there. Not coming from other sports, jumping sideways and all the rest of it. We wanted to make a football culture. And whilst you do get some cross-coders, anyone who said, look, I'm really keen to play, and you know, I'm a talented athlete, good. Where do you live? Go to your sample club. Start playing footy and then get nominated. So we had to really work on that and make sure those pathways were well-defined. And I could probably tell from about the end of 2017, end of 2018, we had a wave of really talented players, but they're only little. They're only under 13 and playing in the under 14s sort of competition. Some of them were 12. So I'm talking Hannah Ewings, you know, who now playing for Port Adelaide, that sort of Matilda Schultz, you know, those Lauren Young. They were the kids I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I could see these kids thinking, wow, we've got some pretty good talent coming through. I'll keep this quiet on Victoria, and we'll just, you know, we had to be an allies with Tasmania and the NT for a little while until we were strong enough to go standalone. We got to that stage in 2021, and then we played one game, lost two tight games with Timmy Weatherall at the helm, and then Timmy took us to win the title in 2022. Which was brilliant. We're undefeated, and then we're undefeated last year. Jason Rippett coached, and we're undefeated last year as well. So we've come from this, being an allies with NT and Tassie to stand alone, and then being national champions. And it's come from the numbers that are playing in community football, and the clubs giving the kids the opportunity to play somewhere near where they live, to then the best players being pushed through to the talent squads at our sample clubs, and then the cream of the crop come through to our state programs. And it's worked really well. And the other thing it's been great too is that so many of the junior kids, if they weren't drafted in their 18th year, and a lot of them aren't ready, they're not like the boys, they're not ready in their 18th year, remain at their sample clubs to play there, and they've developed a real affinity with playing there. And, you know, a lot of the clubs now have got a really strong, healthy base of players between, 19 and 23 now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have been through the underage programs first, and then, are playing, 50 games for their sample clubs now, which is great.
Are you surprised with the amount of take-up of women's football as a talent manager?
No, not really. 'Cause I'll tell you what, Pete, when I was a kid, my sister is a fanatical football supporter. Like, she hasn't got an athletic bone in her body, but love footy. And my mum, and I used to sit there going, why do women love footy? You know, I'm sure you could probably have a pervert that blokes, you know, wearing tight shorts or whatever, but it goes beyond that. Let's face it. They sit there, and they can watch five games. My mum sit there and watch every game, aside from my sister. And I'm sitting there, why do they love footy so much if they don't play it or girls don't play it? Like, it's just, it was interesting. So I've always, even when I was in game development, the best phone calls I got was a mum ringing me up saying, what have you done to my daughter? She wants to do Auskick. And she's five. She's never been interested in footy in my life. And then, but well, you know, one day, you know, there's going to be an opportunity for players. I don't know when. But, yeah, you know, I want 100% of the community to be able to play this great game. And now the, you know, now those girls, you know, and most of them, they're pretty robust. Like, they're the athlete that we're producing now, because they've played a lot longer than the ones that we sort of, you know, when in 2017, we inherited a lot of players from community, but they spend a lot of their time just because of, you know, lack of opportunity in other sports. But now that the kids who have, you know, started, you know, my daughter Kira, she's 12, but this is her fourth year of playing. She did Auskick since she was five. So she's quite natural now in her movement. And, you know, she sees the game differently to what girls would have, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And a lot of these kids now are coming in with a really good base, really good base skill level, but also got the ability to be able to protect themselves on the
It's funny,
you not leave themselves open and vulnerable.
Honestly, when
collecting ground balls, etc.
That's exactly what I was about, what I was thinking, and that was the scary thing when it first started. The girls just left themselves wide open, and you were nervous as all buggery and
holding
and
your breath at stages. Yep,
and that included at AFLW, where they just left themselves so wide open, where girls hadn't learned the instinctive thing, what you first do as a kid to turn to protect yourself. That's another open can of worms after the Peter Wright suspension scratcher. But, yeah, just the instinctive thing, and it is. The girls are now more turning and protecting themselves. Still a long way to go, but it's getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're only – we'll probably use 2017 as the marker, because that's when our Sanford W competition commenced, and we're able to start to implement our underage programs at our Sanford clubs, and AFLW commenced as well. So use that as a marker. We've come a fair way. We've ticked a lot of boxes along the way, but now there's still so much more to do. We need to get another underage competition underpinning the development league. But with that, you know, we've only just started an under 14 boys comp too, which is seven rounds at this time of year too. We really need extra ovals, and that's part of our strat plan at the Sanford, is to have every club to have two operational ovals. But you know, they've got to train as well. We need umpires, coaches. So it's a healthy logistical problem. But it's still difficult at the same time, you know, to be able to create quality programs for all participants to make sure that they're not sort of feeling cheated. You know, they're, you know, you have the haves and the have-nots. You don't want that sort of happening within your footy club. So still plenty to do, mate, particularly in my space, which is good, mate, because I come to work every day knowing that there's so much more to do to be able to, you know, to give these players every opportunity.
All right. To finish up.
Yep, we'll get you out of here on this one, mate.
Yep. Give us the three best players you've played with and against.
Oh, played with? Does that mean only just one game?
No, well, whatever. Go whatever direction you want to go. Go whatever way you want to go.
I would, And I, you know what? I sort of think about this, and I've played with, you know, if I was to pick a team, the names on it is actually that I've played with once.
Yeah.
But at least once. You sort of go far out. That's one of the greatest teams of all time. So I'm talking Wayne Carey in State of Origin footy. I played, you know, underage state footy with James Hurd as well. Hurd, he was a ripper, but he was actually quite small as a kid.
Yeah.
He grew a bit once he got to Essendon. Had a lot of problems with injuries, but, you know, got to play with Macca. Like, it's an unbelievable player, Stuart Lowe. But I'd say, having spent a fair bit of time with, I would say, you know, Rob Harvey was unbelievable the way he played, and just high quality each week. Nathan Burke played the whole 1997 year with a broken thumb. Couldn't do weights, had his arm in a cast sort of during the week and then cut it off and play on the weekend. Like, he was unbelievable. You know, and Yeah, there was just, oh, who else? And I'd say probably the most, the bloke that you sat there and went, wow, was Nicky Weimer. He could just do things. I had a pretty good view of what Cuz was doing on the wing. He was absolutely unbelievable. But yeah, there's just guys as well that, you know, I just didn't play with for long enough, but they were just stars of the game, you know, whether it's someone like Mark Bayes, you know, at Sydney, he was an underrated key defender. Could be Barry Mitchell, Paul Kelly, Darren Creswell, you know, Shane Crawford played a state game with Crawf. There's some absolute guns, mate, that I had the opportunity to be able to play with and very grateful, but probably just didn't get the opportunity to play enough with them, you know.
All right, mate. Look, greatly appreciated, mate.
Kappa, though, a reserves game in 1991. I played with the Big Wizard, so that's almost another highlight as well.
Probably a highlight in a different way, Scratcher. Where's the Scratcher for Robert for the Neil bit as a nickname come from?
So Robert Neil played for Geelong.
Yes.
So Scratcher actually, because he was from Ballarat, around that area, and they had potato farms, mate, so Scratch for potatoes. So a lot of it was like all the nicknames would just come from, you know, what you did and all the rest of it. And he was a potato farmer. And funnily enough, I met him in the breezeway there at Norwood Oval. He was watching his son play for Vic Country. God, that would have been probably the early 2000s. And he said, Scratcher, how you going? I'm Scratcher. To me, so he did my nickname was that too. So he'd played at St Kilda as well before me. And that's how all the boys at St Kilda called me Scratcher straight away, because I actually didn't have to tell them my nickname. Everywhere I've gone, I haven't had to tell anyone my nickname. They just called me that because they knew who Scratcher Neil was. So, so the boys at St Kilda who actually played with Scratcher in his last couple of years as a, you know, and Rob Harvey, Berkey, and, you know, David Grant and Tim Peakin and all those guys, they and Stewie Lowe, they had, and Spud Frawley, they just called me Scratcher straight away. I didn't have to tell them that was my nickname. It was sort of, naturally evolved, mate.
Fair enough.
Easy. Hey, greatly appreciated, mate. I certainly knew we'd talk for more than half an hour too.
Thanks, mate.
And
we could keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I'm glad that I gave the better half a laugh on the weekend going past the scoreboard as well, mate. So thanks, mate.
Did a great job, mate. Fantastic. It's good for the Saints to have a win.
Greatly appreciate it. See you, mate.
Dirty Val. Take care.
See you, mate. Bye. All right, we thank Robbie Neil there for part two. Fantastic to have him talk about the SNFLW women's program and how that's all structured and how the, you know, the players are progressing through and the base is getting bigger.
Yeah, and the Bob Neil conversation as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Always fun with him in that regard.
All right, mate, let's take a very, very short break. When we come back, we've got Happy Days and Extra Time to finish us off.
I'm Stephen Rowe, and you're listening to the Game On podcast.
Happy Days.
All right, let's whiz through these pretty quickly. Happy birthday this week to Brody Grundy, born on the 15th of April 1904, pick 18 of the 2012 National Draft.
Yeah, rate him highly. As I said, I would love to have him at Adelaide. Yeah, love his follow-up work, his competitiveness. Yeah, look, it's still crazy that he's not at Collingwood for mine. It's still bizarre. But Collingwood then that money getting regenerated and they win a flag. So you can't argue with that. Melbourne last year just didn't make sense.
Yes.
That both him and Gawn are number one ruckman. So it just didn't make sense. Yep. And now he's at a place where he can be number one ruckman.
Absolutely.
He's also a person who, you know, loves footy not being the main thing, So he can do that in Sydney more than anywhere else.
As you mentioned, currently playing for the Sydney Swans in the AFL, previously an All-Australian Best and Fairest winner at Collingwood, having been selected with the 18th pick of the 2000 draft and then playing for Melbourne. Grundy was born in Adelaide, South Australia, and attended Cobra Dominican College, private Catholic school in the inner southern suburbs of the city. Graduating in 2011, a former basketball player, Grundy switched to Aussie rules or AFL in 2010. Brody's younger brother, Riley, who was drafted to Port Adelaide with pick number 73 of the 2018 draft. Despite playing as a ruckman, Grundy is able to follow up his ruck work and win the ball himself, applies tackles, and has been labelled the fourth midfielder by his teammates. Yeah, it's an amazing stat. And, you know, again, we talk about Adelaide would love to have him, and I reckon there's probably 16 other AFL clubs that would like to have him on his list as well.
I love him.
All right, let's move on to cricket. 1986, Sir Vivian Richards scores a century off of 56 balls versus England in Antigua in Test cricket.
Love watching him bat. He was the master blaster. Probably is just the way he walked out of the wicket. He commanded the game. He was just
back in the day. Him and Botham were the same.
Swagger.
Yep.
The gum. The no helmet. Hook it off his nose. Go fetch the ball.
That was great.
You know the colour.
Yep.
Et cetera.
That was a great sledge you brought up there a couple of weeks ago when we did have him as well. Yep. So we move on to basketball. 1991, Magic Johnson sets the NBA record for career assists with 9,898.
You might say he was the consummate team player. We share it around, and that's just a ridiculous number. Basketball numbers blow you out of the water, and blow you out of the water that how precise they are and how long they're kept.
Well, you look at he's assisting his teammates 9,898 times.
It's just ridiculous.
And he's a star in his own right, and yet he's doing all those things for the team.
Incredible.
It's an incredible stat, that's for sure. All right, we move on to tennis. 1976, Australian tennis star Yvonne Goolagong Cawley wins her second WTA championship at the Los Angeles Sports Arena. Beats Chris Evert 6-3, 5-7, 6-3.
Also love the respect those two had for each other. It was just, you know, mutual respect, the good sports angle, two absolute champions, privileged to have them both around back then, and both smooth movers, you know, sort of thing, as shot makers, and two guns.
The brash American and the quiet Australian and just getting the job done.
Yeah, I think Chris was reasonably quiet as well, though, like, I think it was more that she was with Jimmy Connors, the brash American there at one stage, not Chris being the brash one. So, Chris Evert, Lloyd, et cetera, and all that.
Exactly. All right, and let's our last one for today on baseball. Baseball honours Jackie Robinson by retiring the number 42 for all teams in 1997. The only reason I bring that up is that this week was the week that all teams played with the number 42 on their back.
Yeah. Amazing, as I said, the stats, baseball and basketball, there are fascinating as a stats person, how they probably do more things there than the other sports do.
And obviously the respect for, you know, the time that Jackie Robinson had to come through baseball and is continued to be recognised his efforts in baseball. All right, mate, let's get into the Extra Time Big Finish.
Extra Time Big Finish.
All right, we'll whiz through these reasonably quickly. Let's start off with tennis. Australia defeats Mexico in a huge win, but it comes at a cost with Storm Hunter damaging an Achilles heel.
Yeah, shocking injury, the Achilles too, because you're generally out for a bloody long time as well. So,
and being tennis is very much a leg sport or a foot sport. Means it's going to take a little bit of time to recover. Australia is now qualified for the finals. Looking forward to that and when that is played, and we will bring more on that as the finals come near. All right, Rafael Nadal returns for the first time on court since January. First match since January in Brisbane.
Yeah, and he's playing the Australian
Alex Diminor in round two.
At the Barcelona. So, encouraging there that he's back, which we sort of didn't expect. So, interesting.
I think his comments were, look, I'm just going to come and just have a go and see how we go. And, you know, he's very much resigned now that this is it.
Yeah.
And I think he's just trying to get himself up for one more French Open.
Yeah. Which his record at French.
I know. And you wouldn't bet against him. That's the thing. Even if he's on one leg, you still wouldn't bet against
him.
Still
have a chance. Yeah.
All right, we'll kick off with the NBL playoff tournament or the play-in tournament. Teams obviously playing on Tuesday and Wednesday this week to see where they sort of fit in. the only way to sort of describe it from a footballing point of view or a tennis point of view is that these are the wild card matches. Yeah. So you're looking at the seeds that are down the bottom of their conferences looking to obviously get in. Is it something that the AFL should be looking at?
I'll be surprised if they don't bring in 9v10 that first week of the finals. I agree. Think it'll come.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's nothing worse than having a week off before the finals where there's no football at all.
It doesn't make sense.
Whereas at least one or two games would be amazing or huge. Oklahoma and Boston being the number one seeds in the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. All right, before we move on with basketball, the NBL, Izzy Borlase is off to the Atlanta Dream with pick number 20 of the WNBA draft. This only just came across our desk very, very shortly before our episode here. Our previous guest, Rachel, obviously mentioned Izzy. I have listened to an interview with Izzy and saying that she won't end up going over to the US until next year.
Good to hear.
On the basis that it'll give her a year to develop her body a little bit because a lot of these players in the NBA, WNBL, are a little bit older in that 22, 23 age bracket. So she's got a little bit of work to do, but how exciting to get picked up at number 20 there.
Just a mature response too, yeah, which isn't a surprise to Borlase family.
Well, that was what I was going to mention. Yeah. It's an amazing family when you look at the stats, and we might have to do a little bit of background digging Jenny on there and having a look at that as well. All right, before we move on, the Adelaide Thunderbirds kicking off their netball defence here in Adelaide with an exciting one-goal win.
Yep, one by one goal over the Queensland Firebirds. So a great start there for the Thunderbirds, and they play the Melbourne Vixens this week. So,
looking forward to that one there. And it's always good to get off to a win when you're defending your title as well. So we'll follow that one up. We might give the NRL a little bit of a miss for this week, mate, and the golf a little bit for this week because next week, obviously, the LIV Golf is here in Adelaide.
Have made a couple of calls there. And Rory McIlvaay's now said, no, that won't happen, and sort of blew that out of the water today.
With the LIV we're going to talk about in the general questions there. To finish us off, you've led us in beautifully. That is he going to defect to the LIV Golf? Not going to happen. I think it was $1.2 billion, or $850 million US. Absolutely crazy. Let's talk some All-Australian matchups. This came across my screen the other day. We might start off with the sort of the back line and the forward line of the 2003 All-Australian matchups versus the 2023. All right, we'll go through the 2003 ones first. We've got the forwards being Chris Tarrant, Matty Lloyd, and Peter Matera.
Yeah.
James Sicily, Callum Wilkie, and Tom Stewart. Who have you got winning those three battles there?
I don't reckon either are a great matchup. I think Wilkie and
Lloyd,
I think they're all good players on down back, but I don't think any of them is a great matchup for Matera in that way.
Yep.
So his pace there.
So you're taking Matera, yep.
Yeah.
Lloyd or Wilkie?
Wilkie, very good player, but I'm more the Lloyd.
I'm going to go Lloyd as well. And Chris Tarrant v. Sicily.
Yeah, I'd probably go Sicily. I'll go 2-1 there.
Yep. I'll go Sicily as well. All right, we're going to go through over the next couple of weeks. We're going to go over the different lines and have a little bit of fun with that. We might bring it up a little bit early. We might bring it up a bit later. Just depends on where it fits in. And just to finish off, the Mac, Andrew and Ginnivan incident on the Gold Coast shows that the umpires are not favouring frees for Ginnivan. Did you see that? He spoiled the ball from Ginnivan. Then Ginnivan sort of gives a little bit of a nudge or a hip into the player on the ground. The player gets up and retaliates, yet the umpires give no free kick either way.
Yeah, interesting, because normally the retaliator does go the free kick against them. I'd like to see it. I haven't seen it. So,
all right, we'll show that one to you before we go on. But, mate, we better get out of here on this one. We thank Robbie Neal for his time over the last couple of weeks. Mate, I thank you for your time today. I know it's been a pretty busy day with the footy clinics.
Yep.
We've got the bowl stuff all starting to ramp up here for the finals. So until next week, we promise to do better.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate.
In this crazy world we live in, we all need the distraction. Enjoying the show? Like, rate, and subscribe. Hook up and connect with us on social media at SportsCastSA. We'll see you next time on Game On.